pase, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Thursday, February 6th, 2020. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins, as always. And Dwayne, I wonder what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, pretty big news kind of breaking very late last night on Twitter out of Montreal. And, you know, God, we've talked about him a few times this summer and or this winter, I should say. And I think what I said the last time was eventually one of these rumors is going to be true. Yeah. And you deal with it at the time. So here we are.
Here we are. There's still no confirmation on the Montreal Impact side. No official confirmation from San Lorenzo, the club. The president of San Lorenzo did send the world of Twitter into a spiral last night by tweeting an old picture of himself with Nacho Piatti. We're talking about Marcelo Tinelli, who is the president of San Lorenzo, a big club in the Argentina Premier, well, First Division, First League. And the president, Marcelo Tinelli, posted a picture of himself with a younger Nacho, but welcoming him back to the club, saying, "We kept the number 28 for you." And there's names of young players maybe joining the Impact, where we're hearing Emmanuel Maciel, and we're hearing also Nico Fernandez, not the good striker. We're hearing about the younger midfielder, winger, probably. But those are all speculations at this point coming from Argentinian journalists. And we know how much credibility some journalists do have. Some do have good ones, some don't. But it's coming from multiple sources in Argentina. But according to Vincent Detouche of TVA Sport, it's not necessarily done. There's no agreement. So there's a lot left to be dissected here. But all signs point to an exit for Nacho Piatti in the next few hours.
Yeah, I mean, look, let's go back to a year ago, January, and Toronto was saying that the Giamenco stuff wasn't a done deal, you know, 2 hours before it happened, right? So you always have to sort of take all of those reports with a grain of salt. The teams will spin it that way until it's official. But if, in fact, there's some players coming back, I think that's a good piece of business for Montreal because they do need some more bodies there. And having some younger players with the potential to grow into themselves more in MLS, I think, is a net positive for the Impact. Obviously, Nacho will be missed, but he was on the wrong side of 30, and you know he does want to go home, and you can't force someone to stay when they don't want to be there and expect to get as much as you did in the past out of him.
We talked about this last week when I did say that it's time to cut bait for Nacho Piatti. I do think it's a good piece of business, depending on the transfer, the money amount, if there's any, who the players actually are, and more details once it's official. It is a youth movement continuation in Montreal. Olivier Renard did not only say it in his press conferences since he has been named sporting director, he's actually doing it. And facts are, yesterday Montreal did play a preseason game versus the Philadelphia Union. They lost 1-0. Nacho Piatti was on the bench for this game. And when Thierry Henry was asked by Dave Levesque of the Journal de Montreal about Nacho Piatti, is he injured? Is it load management? Why is he on the bench? Thierry Henry answered, "Well, you're going to have to ask Nacho." So that's another piece of information here. But all signs point to an exit of Nacho Piatti with the Montreal Impact. And I suggest you listen to our brand new Patreon show, Breaking News Audio, late last night. Myself and Tristan Damore talked about Nacho Piatti and the Montreal Impact for a good 30 minutes, looking deep into all the details of this potential transfer out of Montreal. Now, this leads Montreal, Dwayne, not even 2 weeks away from the CONCACAF Champions League without their talisman, or at least without the man who was their best player. Do you think there's any inclination that something quickly can happen to fill a void this big with the Impact?
No, not in 2 weeks, I don't think is realistic. And nor should they be looking for that. Look, I understand people get excited by the CCL, but in my mind, the best approach is to simply put your lineup you have out there and do what you can. And you never know. We've seen weird things happen in that competition in Montreal. Yep. So you never know.
Is it kind of like the FA Cup where if you're there at the semifinal stage, like, oh, okay, we're going all out. But if not, oh, well, it's too bad. Tough luck. Let's focus on the league.
Look, Saprissa is not an easy touch for sure. But I don't think they're an impossible touch either. So to me, you just focus on that and take advantage of the fact that you're getting some competitive games early, which should, in theory, give you a leg up when the actual season starts, which is where Montreal's bread and butter is going to be this year. I don't think any of us think the Impact are going to win the CCL, with all due respect to them, particularly without Piatti. But if they can, you know, do well against the precinct, as I say, set themselves up for entering the last week of February with a little bit more fitness behind them than the teams are playing, I think that that's a benefit for them as well.
Yeah, and we'll see whenever this transfer is confirmed. Who are the players? What are the actual numbers involved in this transaction? According to multiple sources, Piatti would be with the club as quickly as this weekend. So there is a lot. There's an article that's going to be published tomorrow in Argentina saying it says the novella ends in a good way, and Piatti's back home. So truly, this soap opera is nearing its conclusion.
Yeah, and as I say, I mean, look, there comes a time to move on. There really does. And can you make the lemons or the lemonade from the lemons, right? No one wants to say goodbye to a great player like this, but if you can spin that and utilize the money you will have available to get a little younger and improve yourself, then so be it. And that's a good move. Again, to go back to Toronto when Giovinco left last year, that was a major hole, obviously, emotionally and literally in TFC's lineup. And what they did, what they got out of it was Pozuelo, and different player. But nonetheless, I think even when you look at the age difference and you look at what Pozuelo did with, you know, having played 18 straight months last year, you'd have to say that that's probably better than having Giovinco at 30 whatever.
Yeah, we'll see if...
And it's the same with Piatti, yeah.
We'll see if the two youngsters, or at least maybe the money saved on Piatti, could lead to something down the road. But again, it's not the time to go all in for the Montreal Impact. We do not expect the Montreal Impact to be a contender on the top of the Eastern Conference. Never mind the Supporters' Shield race, never mind MLS Cup. It would be a surprise. It could happen. You never know, any given Sunday and all. But I do believe that this year is not the time to expend yourself, to spread yourself thin, to expend resources. This year, it's about filling up that depth and getting ready for next year, when you can maybe plot one DP on top of Tider and Boyan. Boyan's a town player, but Tider is a DP for the Montreal Impact now. And if you want to have, maybe next year is your window, Dwayne. And I do think that that's how you have to look at it. Use this year for experience to not call it a rebuild. Do not call it a rebuild. Call it, we're going to progress all together. We're building the core of this group. We're building the new core of the Impact for the next 2 to 3 years. It starts with Thierry Henry. You're going to have a couple of great youngsters. ZBG is going to be maybe one of the key pieces in your backline for the next few years. You build around the pieces that you know are reliable for the next 2 to 3 years, and then you can add a valuable piece on top or in the midfield that can not only produce, like, what's the point of producing 75 goals if you lose 5-4 every game and you finish last in the Eastern Conference? So that's the point. You need to reassure a few other parts of the field first, and I think that's the process. They have to trust the process.
Yeah, I mean, that's bake the batter for the cake this year in Montreal, and then put the icing on next year is what you're essentially saying. And now they want cake, but putting that aside,
I can use a slice of cake.
Yeah, a nice chocolate piece of chocolate cake would be lovely right now.
I'm more of a birthday cake vanilla type of guy, but sure, go ahead.
there you go. Yeah, look, you never know either. I'm not ready to discount the possibility of the Impact making the playoffs. If they can, you know, play some kids, figure that foundation out, and maybe add something in the summer, then you never know where they'll be next September. MLS is a league that always has one or two teams that you don't expect to be doing well that end up competing. I mean, no one thought the Earthquakes were going to be as close to the playoffs last year as they were, and they fell off at the end. But
yeah.
But it's possible, right?
It is possible. Anything is possible. And if you look at the roster of the Montreal Impact, yes, there's a death problem, but it's not as bad as you think. And Tristan and I did go deep into the Montreal Impact roster last night, breaking down not only the Piatti rumors, news, call it drama, saga, telenovela, call it whatever you like. We dig deep into also the roster of the Montreal Impact. So go to our Patreon page at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. Now, before we go to the break and come back and talk fashion together again, Dwayne, there's a couple of really ugly jerseys we need to talk about. But before that, I have a couple of news items for you today. A little bits and bytes on Thursday. Kind of like it. 30,000 tickets sold for Nashville. They're opening the Upper Bowl. It's going well for at least for the home opener. I have another tidbit of news for Nashville that is not necessarily good. But this is not bad. At least 30,000 minimum will be at Nissan Stadium in 3 weeks.
Yeah, you know what, they're hyping that up. The rivalry game with Atlanta. Regional rival for them there. It's a very exciting game for them to play, and the only time they'll face Atlanta this year, which I think is not something MLS is happy with moving forward, but they'll have a chance to move them again. It's real unfortunate, actually. We talk about the alignment. Memphis will probably bounce back and forth for a while, and that doesn't help with rivalries, but nonetheless. Look, yes, the key to your statement there was that we should be nice and full for that first game. I don't think the season tickets are as good as they'd like, kind of a dull 0-0 in May against Columbus might not. We always pick on Columbus, Colorado.
Colorado needs to be picked on a bit more. You're right.
Might not appeal in the same way, but I guess the idea, like anything, is you do a bit of a loss leader in that, and I suspect they probably paper the house a little bit too. That's good. I fully encourage that, as long as you don't make it a habit to give away your tickets too cheaply, because then you devalue your product. But just get them in the door and see what you can do.
They might not have a... Okay, breaking news, Dwayne. Literal breaking news right now. Major League Soccer and MLS Players Association reach agreement on a 5-year collective bargaining agreement. So we'll take a break a bit later, and we'll get back to this breaking news in a second with... MLS and MLSPA having an agreement. But let's just finish on Nashville. Will be our last little bit in the news before we take a break and pivot to an agreement, Dwayne, between you and I. Nashville Fairgrounds, there was a lawsuit, and the lawsuit is progressing. Here is a couple of tidbits of information from KRN News from Nashville. On Wednesday, a judge ruled in favor of the Nashville Fairgrounds lawsuit that questions if the deal to build an MLS stadium on part of the property violates charter. Chair of the Save Our Fairground, Wilt Wilms, says the stadium would push the fair out. And now there's legally, they need to know if they can actually do something about it. Mayor John Cooper also wants to know, because they already had an agreement that comes from 2018 with MLS. But with the owner of Nashville SC, a lot of people in Save the Fairground are looking at this as a stadium not being the issue. The stadium is the entirety of the rest of the land of the 10 acres that are being sold to the private party, and how this might push the fairgrounds out. So there's a lot more to this Nashville stadium situation with the mayor and also with the city than first believed.
Yeah, you know, there's always more complications than maybe we're aware of when we're outside of the situation. But look, it's not a great thing that they're having to fight like this to get that stadium built, because I do think that when you're looking at Nashville's long-term prospects, they really do need to be in something of their own. I don't think it's beneficial to play, unless you're Atlanta or Seattle, in those big stadiums too long, right? You're going to look foolish at times, and it doesn't create the atmosphere. I mean, look at what the Wizards / SKC did in the early days, and how much that changed when they, well, I guess the Wizards, when they came SKC and moved to the smaller, it suddenly became a massive deal, right? And I think that you just have to stay away from playing in the bigger stadiums a long time if you don't fill them, and they're not, I don't think. So here we are. And hopefully they can find some way to work together and make everyone happy down there.
Hopefully they can. Hopefully they can. How about we take a small break, Dwayne, and when we come back, we'll talk about Major League Soccer and Major League Soccer's Players Association reaching a 5-year agreement.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at @SoccerTodaySPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/Sports Podcasting Network. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
And we're back on Soccer Today. Sorry for the longer break. We're just getting a bit of information because it is happening quickly. Dwayne, 5-year agreement between Major League Soccer and Major League Soccer Players Association. Quite a turn of event. We knew it was going well. We knew the negotiations were going well. It was quiet this week. The extended period for negotiations and in CBA was due to finish tomorrow night. But this is not even needed. They have reached an agreement. We're going to have a full season this year.
And that is obviously very good news for fans of this league and for people like ourselves who don't really want to talk about labor negotiations every day for 2 months. And obviously no one wants that, right? So I haven't seen details of this yet. 5 years, a good sign because we have labor peace. I will be curious to see what changes are. We will obviously break those down in our own minds in the very near future, like immediately following the show, and we'll be able to digest it and understand it a bit more for sure for tomorrow or maybe even sooner depending on Kevin and I's schedule. So it is good news. That is obviously, you know, it goes without saying, it's great news, and I'm surprised they got it done this easily, but yeah. I'm glad they did.
Yeah, we're glad. Speaking of breaking news, I'm gonna read to our listeners right now the press release that I just received from Major League Soccer and Major League Soccer Players Association. Major League Soccer and the Major League Soccer Players Association today announced that they have reached an agreement in principle on the terms of a new collective bargaining agreement. The agreement covering 5 seasons, commencing with the 2020 season and continuing through the 2024 season, is subject to the approval of the MLS Board of Governors and membership of the MLSPA. Usually those are formalities, by the way. Completed more than 3 weeks prior to the league's 25th season, the new 5-year CBA continues the tremendous momentum behind the sport of soccer in the U.S. and Canada. The new agreement includes increased investment in player spending, greater flexibility for clubs to use those new resources across the entire roster, players spending to include a share of MLS new media rights deal in 2023 and 2024. A substantial increase in charter flights by the end of the term. Expanded free agency. As we prepare to celebrate our 25th season, we are very pleased to finalize a new 5-year collective bargaining agreement with our players, said MLS Commissioner Don Garber. This agreement addresses key strategic priorities for the league and our players while also retaining the basic player compensation structure that has been the foundation for the growth and stability of Major League Soccer. We had constructive, positive discussions with the leadership of the Major League Soccer Players Association and the Players Bargaining Committee during the negotiations over the last few months, and I would like to thank them for their collaboration in concluding an agreement that will serve as the foundation for a new era of partnership with our partners. So, Dwayne, before I dive deeper into each of the new aspect of this CBA, yeah, sounds like both parties might have got what they wanted to a point, and maybe by the end of the term, the flight aspect, the charter aspect, will be addressed more than maybe this year.
Yeah. I just had a quick look at the foundations of this, and you know, the league gets to keep its precious Tam Dam Lam Dam Sam Bam. So you know, God forbid we lose that. What? How would we make jokes? So you know, there's that, but there is a significant increase in budget in there, and the minimum salary has gone over 6 figures. So I think that is something that's a very big win for the players. No one's going to be eating, you know, mac and cheese out of a, you know, a shared one-bedroom apartment with three teammates anymore in this league. And that's, I think, generally going to be positive for everyone involved. Still three DP slots, I noticed, although there is, as we expected, going to be some limits on spending if that player is not younger than 23. It's an interesting initiative. Reflects their desire to sell more, I believe. But it also is not preventing clubs that want to have a third older DP on the team so long as they compensate him around $1.5 million. So it's a positive development. It is not as much as anyone, you know, we would like to see $20 million as the cap, really. But I think getting it up, I believe I saw 10, around 10, 11 in a couple of years. And that's, you know, when I first started following this league, Kevin, the salary cap was 2.1 million. So it's significant.
Yeah, okay. It is very significant. And it is a continuation. And it is pretty much what I thought it was going to be in the last few weeks when we talked about the CBA. I always said it's the one before the big, big one that will change everything in soccer world. I think that's pretty much what we've seen. What we would call a bridge CBA. So let's call this the bridge CBA. Let's go closer into each of these foundations that you were talking about. Increased investment in players' spending. MLS will increase investment in the salary budget, general allocation money, and performance bonuses for players, raising the spending power per club every year from $8,490,000 in 2019 to $11,643,000 in 2024. In addition, the minimum annual salary for senior roster players will increase each season to $109,200 in 2024, and a 401k contribution and other benefits also will increase with the new CBA, going from 58,000, that was the case in 2019, to $109,000 in 2024. That's significant.
It's very significant. I can no longer joke that I make more money than some MLS players in a very short period of time. So, so yeah, that's sad. I need a raise.
That's a good point. Okay, another point here. Greater salary budget flexibility across rosters. During the last three MLS season, clubs were provided an additional $1.2 million per season in targeted allocation money to be used for the acquisition or retention of players within a specific salary budget range. Under the new CBA, that $1.2 million per season has been converted to general allocation money and may be used across the entire roster. Additionally, with the increase in the amount of guaranteed spending across the entire roster during the next five seasons, the amount of discretionary targeted allocation money per season will decrease correspondingly. It's the beginning of the end for TAM.
They're fading it out, they're grandfathering it, which they kind of had to do based on the fact they're trading the damn stuff still, right?
Yeah, like weeks ago, like last week. So, yeah.
So, yeah, they have to still provide them with the opportunity to play that. But yeah, converting it to a general allocation money, to salary budget. Right, GAM. They call it GAM, but it's just the budget. And converting it to that is makes a lot of sense because, you know, and it makes a lot of sense for the players because they really, TAM was set up to bring players into the league and it was not set up to keep players in the league to allow them to, you know, sign them for a bit more money after they've demonstrated that they could perform, right? And the domestic guys kind of got the short end of the stick. There's been exceptions, like here in Toronto, Jonathan Osorio ended up getting a TAM deal, and that was not the norm, though. The norm was bringing people in, and I think if you're just going to put it across the entire salary budget, obviously you can choose different ways to build your team then. You can be a heavy domestic team and just go after the American players and pay them a bit more, and that might be a strategy that's successful, particularly for a small market, I would think. That doesn't have to fight the image issues. That might be a way they go, and it just makes a little more sense. And you know, once we get rid of TAM, we no longer have to explain the rules to people every 3 seconds.
Well, you gotta make it more accessible. You gotta explain JAM, but still not TAM. So it's a step in the right direction, I guess. players to share in media revenue for the first time. For the first time, players spend per club will include a share of the increased revenue generated by MLS new media agreements in 2023 and 2024. Beginning in 2023 and 2024, Major League Soccer will increase player spending by an amount equal to 25% of the increased media revenue above the amount generated by the league in 2022, plus $100 million. The league's current national and international media right partnership expire at the end of 2022.
And so they better get a good deal. That's for the players are invested in this now to help the league be partners and to do media stuff and to be accessible. I think that that's kind of a nod to that. They're partners now, so they're going to want to grow the product. They're going to want to contribute to the narrative to make it appealing to media companies to spend money because they're going to get a chunk of it.
That's a little page, a small page in the NBA Players Association and NBA relationship playbook. I believe it's not even close to what it is in the NBA, but it's a step towards that versus the NFL on the other side. So I guess that's what we're taking away from this. Yes, it's breaking news. We received the email at 11:12. That's the beauty of doing a live show, pivoting whenever it's necessary. But I do think the players, at least, should be happy that this CBA seems to be going towards an NBA type and not towards an NFL type. Charter flights, Dwayne, increase substantially. Clubs will be required to use charter flights for 8 legs of travel during the 2020 regular season, growing to 16 legs for the 2024 season. In the previous CBA, club had the discretion but not the requirement to charter up to 4 legs per season. In addition, club will be required to use charter air travel for all Audi MLS Cup playoff matches and CONCACAF Champions League game involving international travel. So I guess that means that they don't count in the other ones. So for playoffs, for recovery, and I guess for cheap owners, now they have to use a minimum of 8 charters this season. It's not that they have the discretion to. They're required to use them. That's a big change of mentality, even though it's not to its full extent that it will be in 2024.
Yeah, the required is the key word there. And just in case people didn't pick up on the language of that, they're not talking about 8 round trips. They're talking about 8 legs.
So 8 trips. So 4 yeah. round trip, yeah.
Yeah, so it's still not all the way there, but it is required, as you say. And look, CCL, man, I mean, most clubs already were in the CCL, yeah. I believe, but... But yeah, that's you don't want to be dragging your stuff to, you know, Guatemala in the middle of the week.
So. Well, you can, but you're going to pay for it. Expanded eligibility for free agency. The eligibility criteria for free agency has been expanded to include players who are 24 years or older and have 5 years of service in Major League Soccer. This lowers the age and term from the previous CBA, in which players 28 years and older with 8 years of service were eligible for free agency. The CBA includes caps on the increases in compensation in free agent contracts. In addition, I know I put S's where I'm supposed to be. I read it for the first time, like you. In addition, players making above the maximum salary budget, including DPs, designated players, will now also be eligible for free agency based on specific guidelines. DPs can become free agents. Are you kidding? That's something I haven't thought about. It's not bad. Not pretty good idea.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's rare that DPs get moved, but it's happened before, and they were sort of at the bird of a trade. You know, I think Julian de Guzman, when he was traded to Dallas for a bag of balls, basically, because he wasn't playing in Toronto's system and didn't work out, and they wanted to get him off the salary. But now you put him in a free agent situation, they can kind of just at least give them some rights to do that and not have to worry about it keeps them in the league longer, right? Like, if a player doesn't work out in a certain place, especially if you're bringing a lot of these young DPs in, then it gives them the opportunity to stay in the league. It's a smart, savvy move on both fronts. I mean, the players want it because they want more movement. The owners should want this because exactly, like, this is someone you invested in. If it didn't work out, then you try and, you know, he moves on, and at least the league itself is keeping that asset inside it because they do share the profits of a sale.
Yeah.
And yeah, it benefits everyone.
And also, it'll raise the stakes, and some players will get paid more. Example, Diego Valeri would have been able to bargain his talent to another team in Major League Soccer and probably made more money. So, there you go. That's a concrete example of how this could be dealt with in the future. And the last important aspect of this CBA that we know right now, designated player spots. Clubs will continue to have the right to sign up to 3 designated players in the new CBA. More details regarding the new MLS collective bargaining agreement can be found by going to their website. So, new agreement, 5 years, a lot of benefits for the players, a willingness from the owners to actually spend more, and maybe Arthur Blank was right. This feels like it's people putting their money where their mouth is, and it's like the owners realizing that, okay, they don't get our bluff. They don't believe that we're not profitable. How about we just not necessarily give in, but how about we're willing to work together towards a financial future where we all agree to make money?
Yeah, and if you have 3 DPs and a salary of $11 million, a salary budget of $11 million, you're going to have far more teams that are up in that near $20 million or above, depending on how they pay their DPs, and that will ultimately allow MLS to finally be able to truly compete with the Mexican teams, the top teams anyway. And that's something they've been giving lip service to for years. But this is a pathway to that, finally. And that's a good thing, too. You know, they talk about increased cooperation with Liga MX, and I think that the first step to make that a fair and equitable partnership is to make the teams closer in talent. And this goes a long way to that, because I do think that that's something with the region as a whole is focused on in the next, well, 6 years, basically, right?
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, look, this is good. It's absolutely good. 5 years due to, I think there's that, the players would have picked that. 5's a nice round number. Well, it's not round. It's
I was going to say, yeah, it's kind of not, but yes, it is. It's got half a round number. It works.
It's a half decade, right?
Exactly.
But it also expires just before the World Cup. So I think that's part of the thinking there, too, on the player side, that they think, yeah, well, okay, let's get this to the World Cup and we'll work together. And then hopefully we've done what we want to do and the game's even booming more and we can continue to increase that. Well, at the bottom line, Kevin, we're going to play soccer. We can focus on it now.
Yeah,
we know these games are going to happen, and that allows us to get excited about it.
How much do you want to bet that in the next 4 days are going to be a avalanche of news, of player signing, of transfers, of things happening? A lot of teams are waiting for this moment. Now, players, general managers know the parameters, know the rules. They know the rules of the game. So things are going to happen quickly. Breaking news audio available at our patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork.
Exactly. $5 a month. Yeah, exactly. I mean, TFC was waiting to sign their DP until, you know, the summer maybe, but they for sure needed to know whether they could go out and get a 30-year-old or whether they were, you know, going to have to get a certain type of 30-year-old or get a player that is younger, right? You know, the other Piatti, not the one we talked about off the top, is in Toronto for medicals.
I think
he's more of a TAM player. I don't believe he's a DP, despite some reporting out there. He just doesn't fit the profile.
No, yeah.
But nonetheless, you know, even moves like that, now that we know there's a little bit more money in there, you can afford to spend a bit more and you can go out and get those guys. And that, look, I'm just happy there's going to be a damn league, a game. I mean, it's games are going to happen, because it was a long time to wait until CanPL kicked off if they weren't going at the start of the year, at the end of this month. And wow, it's very close now, and we can just focus on the football.
We can focus on the football, and it's official now. There's going to be a season in Major League Soccer. Hope you enjoyed this. Different soccer today. We were going to talk about fashion and Major League Soccer's new kits. I'm kind of glad that we don't have to. I'm kind of glad that we pivoted and talked about the new bargaining agreement between Major League Soccer and Major League Soccer's Players Association. We'll have more once available. We'll probably have an article on Sports Podcast and his work later today. I'm pivoting to doing this right now. And you can find more on our Patreon page. Also, more on Piatti, more on Two Solitudes, Canadian Soccer. Yesterday, Dwayne and I talked about the Canadian Women's National Team, Olympic Qualifiers, Canadian Premier League, Players Association in the rumbling. So go to our Patreon page at patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. $2, $5, and $10 a month will give you access to different premium podcasts. And until then, For Dwayne Rollins, I'm Kevin Laramie. You can follow Dwayne at 24th Minute, myself at Kevin Laramie, and this show at Soccer Today SPN Live. The beauty of live radio podcasting. Something happens, we can talk about it. And until then, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.